You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on News Talk 1100 KFNX.
And we are back with Sean Collins, and we were discussing his new book, Letters to My Unborn Children. How many and when did you decide to write this series of letters?
I wrote three letters. The first two letters I wrote immediately, well, it wasn't immediate because each of them took about 6 months to write, but in response to the miscarriages. So the first letter was during the middle part of 2004, and then the second letter was from the end of 2004 into early 2005. And at that point, I'd said, we've had two miscarriages. I need to stop thinking about this, which, I've written what I can write, and so I need to be done. And when I was starting to investigate publishing the letters as a book, a local writers group in Indianapolis read the first two letters, and they said, really, your story is not complete. Do you have it in you to write a third letter? And could you write a letter that encompasses both your unborn and your living children? So that one took longer, partly because, after their encouragement, then we had our third miscarriage, and then we were pregnant with Claire, and so it just, there was a lot going on, but it was a much harder letter to write, I think, to say in the bigger picture of our family, what is it about the miscarriages and what is it in our living family that we're taking forward with this narrative when we say that the darkness isn't the end of the story. So that took, I'd say it was probably a good year of work before that one was done, and that finished up about middle of 2011.
Mm-hmm. And you created a song for Letters to My Unborn Children, and how did that happen?
So after our third miscarriage, and I just had this sense of despair, and I felt like we'd come through our first two miscarriages, and I converged on this notion of silent grief and the idea that there are people who grieve who aren't given permission to grieve, and that I could try and speak peace into those stories, be it with miscarriage or something else. And Christina and I had worked really hard to bring that experience together, and when we had our third miscarriage, I just felt this deep sense of despair that it just wasn't worth hoping for anymore. And the words in the Qayyim prayer, which is the fifth chapter in or the fourth chapter in the book, but in the couple of weeks after the third miscarriage, I sat down and the texts came from a book called Celtic Daily Prayer, but I sat down with a couple different musical instruments and the melody came from there and I put it together.
How's it doing right now?
I have been more than pleasantly surprised. Frankly, I've been shocked at how positive the reception has been. From the reviewers most of the reviewers I've never met, and they were very encouraging in bringing the book to life. And for a niche market, I thought, well, we'll print a couple hundred copies and see what happens. And I ran out of my first 200 copies within a month, and I've almost run out of my second 200 copies, so I'm getting ready to do some more. And and the reception from the readers has also been very positive. It's on this theme that your book has given me words that I was struggling to find when I walked through a dark experience of miscarriage, or even a dark experience that had nothing to do with miscarriage, but you've given me a way to voice some of my own confusion and to move through that with hope. So that's something I've been extremely grateful for.
Now, how has your experience with miscarriage shaped your view of parenting, and has music played a very specific role in your lives?
I'll answer the music question first. It continues to play a role in our lives. We incorporate music into our, our mealtime prayers and our bedtime routine, and I continue. I am an instrumentalist as a hobby, so I will play instruments, and every once in a while another song comes out. And as far as parenting, I think that one of the biggest challenges we've faced, and this is something that Christine and I, as firstborns who are, have, she's a pharmacist and I'm an engineer by training, we tend to want things to be right, and we tend to not want to get things wrong. And so facing an experience like miscarriage where we had to really trust that it did not happen because of anything that we did wrong, and we've had to tell that story to ourselves over and over again. But that has been extremely important as we face the experience of parenting also, to as we look at our role as parents, to be able to say that this is not about getting it right, but it's about walking together and opening our home to these three living children that we have, and then to our three girls who have inherited that desire not to be wrong, to create a space for them that says there's more to life than just getting it right all the time, and giving them the freedom to dream and perhaps the freedom to fail, but to give them that encouragement.
Mm-hmm. And this is the last question. Does talking about traditionally taboo subjects like miscarriage help you to live authentically in other areas of your life, and where can we get your book?
It has, I think, I use the term silent grief intentionally because the silent grief is you have a loss and the society around you doesn't recognize it, and you wonder, was this real? Was it valid? And miscarriage is not the only place where we have silent grief. And one thing Christine and I have worked really hard on is looking for those patterns elsewhere and then stepping into them and where possible. I mean, when we're blessed to offer a helping hand, we're very grateful for that.
And where can we get your book? Where can we get the book?
It is at the website is www.letterstomyunbornchildren.com. It's also available on Amazon. You can look for Letters to My Unborn Children and Sean Collins.
And thank you so much for joining us today. And we'll be right back on Catherine Raker's Let's Just Talk.
Thank you, Catherine, for having me.
Thank you. Okay.
Hi, I'm Catherine Raker. You know, my pick for the best new organic healthy beverage is Wolfgang Puck's iced coffee. Every day I get new products for radio and TV, and this was the best. Low in calories, organic, smooth, great flavor, not overpowering, makes you want more. In October, Wolfgang Puck was on my radio show, Let's Just Talk, and talked about his new product. Well, to my surprise, I received a carton of four flavors. Café Latte, Cream Caramel, Vanilla Fusion, and Double Mocha Blend. One was better than the other. I found a new beverage that gives me a pickup without tons of calories. As you know, I'm on a weight challenge, and this product fits in with my lifestyle. Only 120 calories per 8-ounce bottle. My personal favorite is Cream Caramel. It tastes just like cream brulee. It is truly the best coffee on the market. So run, not walk, to your favorite Fry's or Whole Foods store and get Wolfgang Puck iced coffee. You will find it in the organic section of the store.
Okay. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on News Talk 1100 KFNX.
We are back with someone that I just absolutely have learned to adore just recently. Not adore, but love for what he does. And that's Phil Proctor, an award-winning actor, singer, writer, and producer, and a 45-year member of the thrice Grammy-nominated and nationally celebrated Fireside Theater Comedy Group. He's played on Broadway and off-Broadway on the West Coast, at the Mark Taper Forum, South Coast Rep, the Falcon Theater, and the Theater Boston Court, and is a 15-year member of Antonius Classical Theater Ensemble. He's appeared in scores of films and TV shows and voices the Drunken French Monkey in the Dr. Dolittle series, the blockbuster Assassin's Creed series, as well as characters in the Golden Age of Pulp Fiction, audiobook series, as well as Zorro and Die Snow, White Die, Damn You for Blackstone Audio. He also co-stars in an independent comic thriller, Window of Opportunity, and currently in post-production towards a one-man reading of Don Quixote with L.A. Guitar Quartet, and will be appearing in Florida with Agatha Christie's BBC Murder Mystery. And you can go to www.planetproctor.com. I want to welcome him to our show today, Phil Proctor.
Wow, after that introduction, I better just hang up. I'm too busy to talk to you. It's wonderful. No, it's absolutely amazing to me, Catherine, that at the age of 72, I would be so active in show business still, and that I would be doing live audio theater on stage. That's something that both my wife and I have been touring with and performing. Not only the golden age of Pulp Fiction in Hollywood, bringing to life the wonderful Pulp Fiction stories of L. Ron Hubbard on stage before like a cabaret audience, but this show in Florida that Zev Buffman is producing is a complete theatrical experience. With lights and costumes and sets and memorized lines and staging and gunfights and everything. It's a real hybrid. It's not just, you know, listening to people speaking at microphones. It becomes a theatrical experience. It's tremendously exciting.
And, you know, we're going to have to take a break in a second because of our commercials.
Sure.
And our sponsors. And when
Long
we come back... And when we come back, we'll talk about all of it. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Catherine.
We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Let's Just Talk with Catherine Raker on News Talk 1100 KFNX.